AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Kerry Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, all right, y'all. All across the USC, Compton, Watts, Bay to LA, Pomona, California, from valley to valley, we represent that killer Cali. So if you're keeping it real on your side of your town, you tune in to Gangsta Chronicles.
Gangsta Chronicles, we gon' tell you how it goes.
If I lie, my nose will grow like Pinocchio. We gon' tell you the truth and nothing but the truth.
Gangsta Chronicles, this is not your average show.
You're now tuned into the real MCA, Big James, and Big Stan.
This is strictly from the streets.
Hello.
We represent the streets.
Welcome to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, a production of iHeartRadio and Black Effect Podcast Network. Make sure you download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles. For my Apple users, hit the purple mic on your front screen, subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles, and leave a 5-star rating and comment.
What's happening? We'd like to welcome you to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles show. Usually you would hear that Gia coming in, but my man MCA is stuck on that 91 freeway somewhere, but he'll be here shortly. Today, man, got some special people in the house, man. You know, they just proven that everybody else in the game is lazy, man, because the average artist put out an album, man, like every year or so, sometimes every 2 years. This brother done dropped 2 classics already, man. You know, 2 classics already just out, just hungry like the werewolf from London. You know, the truth is in his eyes, man. That was the first joint he laced us with, man. And then he dropped this other one with Game, man. That's just a phenomenal album, man, that I was banging on the way over here, man. Let me ask y'all a question. How long did it take you? Did y'all really do that album in 24 hours?
Less than. Really, like, one session, bro. It was maybe, like, anywhere between, I want to say, like, 9 and 11 hours, something like that.
Yeah, Paisley Dreams, and y'all thought of the title and everything, because I like the title.
Yeah. I mean, the album was made. We shot a video 2 days later and dropped it the next day, like dropped the album and the video the next day type shit.
Oh, for sure. And these guys don't need no introduction. I'm sure you know, man, we got Big Hit in the house, man, a Hit Boy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So I want to go a little back because I don't listen to all the interviews, bro. And there's so many questions I wanted to ask you, man, because you got a real deep story, man. And I think what y'all doing is phenomenal. Me being a pops, man, and getting to see my son play professional football, it's just like, you know, when you watch your kids succeed, man, it's just like you succeeding yourself.
Absolutely.
You feel what I'm saying? It's like a real surreal feeling. You know what I'm saying? When my son's name got called, I was just like, damn, man, this looks like it all really went and did it, you know?
Right.
You know, just thinking about him in the park, man. And I know y'all, man, like so many of our other brothers, man, you was caught up in that system. And I was listening to Hip Boy talk, like he was like, I've been wanting to do this, but every time we come close to doing it, something else happened, man.
Man.
Are you from Pasadena, man? Where we at? We in Pasadena right now.
Yeah, we in the hood with it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When did you catch your first case, bro?
Shit. I think I was probably 11.
11 years old, because you still look young as a motherfucker. When he was like, that's Hip Boy's pops. And I was like, you sure ain't his brother, man? Mm-hmm. You look young as hell.
Everybody saying that.
You made me where I got to step my game up, man. I'm like, come on here looking like he 25 or 30, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you caught your first case when you was 11, man.
Shooting lights out and shooting neighbors' windows with BB gun, pellet guns and shit.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this, man. If they'd have let you slide, do you think you would have went on and did the other things that you did?
If the police would have let me slide?
Yeah, like if they'd just let you slide. You was a little kid. You was 11 years old.
I mean, I was getting my ass beat. That shit didn't work. And the police, nothing, done nothing. Jail still didn't change me, my nigga. All that, I've been locked up my whole life. And it still didn't change me, my nigga. Like, on God in heaven, jail didn't change me. Circumstances did, you know what I'm saying? A little like this, you know. You know, I'm around my son and my grandson, this little. But before I got out, my mind was still in the, you know, it just made me a better criminal. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, there's no rehabilitation in that motherfucker. For real, it's fake rehabilitation. It's only so far you can go. You got to do certain programs that they do. It's all textbook shit that, you know, that they can get their dollars on.
Yeah, that's one of the things I say. I'm not a big fan of jail, man, because I do believe it just turns people into better criminals. And you just go, it's like, man, when you in an environment like that, you go have to get down for your crime.
Man. Oh, yeah, for
it's
sure.
It's not like you can go in that motherfucker and just go do study. You feel what I'm saying? Like just chill.
I mean, you can. For real.
So?
Yeah, if you press the line, do you really focus? You know what I'm saying? But it's just, I ain't going to say it's hard, but it's in the situation with so much negativity and so much influence, and just the flow is so weird and fucked up. With the police will push you that way. You know, so you got to be really focused, like, you know me.
You just got to be really focused, man. Yep. So
and tired.
So you started out when you was 11. That's crazy, man. They just sent an 11-year-old cat, man, just out the way, man. We got to think of some better shit in this country. You know, we the only country to do shit like that.
Yeah, they didn't send me, though. You know, Miles and them was coming to save me. I was getting saved all the way to 17 until when I really went on the run.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
You was in North Carolina?
Nah, I was in the hood in Pasadena.
You said when you got on the right?
Yeah, I was on the run. Yeah, I went to North Carolina. Yep.
So you was just really on the run? You just went?
Yeah, I pushed. I was supposed to get like 7 years. I got caught with like shit, like half a brick and like gang of guns, probably like 5 or 6 guns. And I was already had fought some cases, and judge was like, you just a menace to yourself. I was already supposed to do some time. I was supposed to turn myself in. Mm-hmm. And I had got caught with another half a brick and some guns. And it was like, and they was like, you're supposed to turn yourself in anyway. And I shook. I hadn't fight that case. I just bounced.
You just bouncing, just on the run like a motherfucker. Say, fuck.
Yep. But the feds was on me. They just waited till I turned. You know, they was already on me. They just waited till I turned 18 because they could really do shit.
So if you would have turned
juvenile shit.
If you'd have went on and just did your time just 1 year early, you probably could have got out that motherfucker.
Yeah, I could have. Yep, juvenile, it would have been. Mm-hmm. That's, I don't know what I was facing, though. I don't know what they would have gave me.
Yeah, but that's a long, you know, when you get talk about getting caught with a half a bird, especially when, what year was this?
Man, shit. This is, what, 88?
Yeah, 88, man, they was giving motherfuckers real time, man. You know, yeah, they was giving motherfuckers, they was passing our time behind that dope, especially us, because I know the laws was a little different. Was it powder or was it rocked up?
Nah, it was hard.
It was, oh, yeah, ours, you was going to do some time, dog. You'd have been better off if it would have been powdered.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like we was doomed to fail.
Nah, I know. This 100, it was 100-1 back then.
Mm-hmm.
On me. I got caught up with some more shit, and they sent me up the river. Got caught up in North Carolina with, like, 3 bricks and, like, 15 guns. And they ain't turned nothing in but, like, 9 ounces, and I wasn't complaining. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Turned in, like, 3 guns and like, 9 zips. But I didn't say shit about it, you know.
Yeah, let me ask you something, though, bro. Do you think we was almost set up to fail during that era? Because I remember when rocks first started cracking.
Sure.
That was almost like the savior in the neighborhood because God. I started seeing homies, man, this 8th grade, man, you know,
all
pushing deuce and quarters and shit, Cadillacs and shit. And I was like, damn, man, I got it. And it was just so easy, man. It was almost like it was a setup.
Man, I used to have to really try to find people to smoke. I done made people smoke crack, my nigga, on God in Heaven. Police done really pulled me over and pulled rocks out of my pockets, my nigga, and put them back in my pocket. You know what I'm saying? Didn't know what the fuck it was.
Yeah, that's how it was when at first they didn't know what it was.
They didn't know what it was.
Out there doing it, man. Then when the time came, man, when they once they found out what it was, they started giving us the time. And the crazy part about it, man, if you had that hard, you was almost get like 100-1, man.
That's what it was. The ratio was 100-1. That's what I got sentenced to, the A-46. No, the conspiracy and all that shit.
That was when you was the feds.
10 to life, yo. But I tapped out early. I'm like, fuck, they was doing too much. They want to snitch on the plug and niggas start to statements and all kind of shit from New York and Chicago, you know what I'm saying, Indiana, North Carolina. I got caught in North Carolina, but I was everywhere. But I said,
That's what it was. A lot of brothers. I'm originally from Cleveland, man. I came out to California in 87. And it was a whole lot of brothers from California that was pushing up like to Ohio, Indiana, different places, and they came with them prices, man, and you know.
Oh, God.
You know, and it was a lot of money being made.
Absolutely.
It was a whole lot of money being made. So how old was you when you had hit?
Oh, shit. 15. I was 14 when I, you know, got his mama pregnant.
You were 14, man. Did that kind of change you a little bit, man? Did it, like, deter you just a little bit? Like, a little?
When they actually had him?
Yeah,
I was like, I was a young father. I, you know, so I kept him with me. Like, he'd keep him with him. That was me. I kept him with me. You know what I'm saying? All swap meets. I didn't give a fuck if I was rolling, hitting corners, jumping out, serving, picking up bread, doing all that. I was, you know, that was really, I know it was hazardous. You know, I was looking back at it, but just at that time, I didn't care.
Yeah, when we young, there's a whole lot of shit we do. When you look back now, I'm like, man, what the fuck was I thinking about?
Yeah, I was flipping, no babysit, no nothing. And the 65 and the killer Dayton's like on the shawl, hitting calling like in the gutter.
I was 3 when he got locked up for that long stint till I was grown. So I was 1-2 years old, riding around with no car seat and shit. That's
Let me ask you this. How did that impact you, man? Because it seemed like you can just look at you and your pops and tell y'all hella close.
Yeah.
How did that impact you? Because I know you remember.
Man, nah, for sure, bro. Just like being, I remember being in elementary. I actually went to Longfellow right here down the street. Like, I was the first elementary I went to out here. And I just remember, like, seeing kids that had they pops and shit. And that just was something that always tugged at me, was like fucking with me, like, damn, like, I know my pops well, like, I go visit him, we go to Long Beach State Prison, I get letters, we be on the phone, but then, like, I don't got that same, where motherfuckers, you know, dad is coming to pick him up from school and shit like that, and I always felt like, you know, I was missing that, but I just stuck through it.
Yeah, and how much did that fuel you going on your run, because you in the game, man, because I know some cold-ass producers, and only this many of them make it. Like, I'm talking about really making it. If they ain't getting fucked out their beats by somebody else that's
right.
Your producer.
Uh-huh.
You know, you kind of made it through the whole little matrix, man. You know, the way we ain't going to speak on the other stuff. But, you know, it's on your one little situation. Because I remember the homie Glasses Malone telling me about you a long time ago. He was like, man, you got to talk to
him. Yeah, no, I know G Malone since 05. I was, you know, fresh out of high school. I think it was the summer I got out of high school. I was just linking up with a gang of different musicians and shit, and somebody knew Glasses, and we tapped in. I remember he rapped on one of my beats. Like, it was one of my first batch of beats.
Yeah, that sounds like G.
Yeah.
And you, man, you know, Big Hip, you locked up and you seen your son go in this ascension, man. How did that make you feel, dog?
Man, just proud. Just a joy that you can't explain. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, it's just, I felt like I, you know, it was me.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know he was in there fighting like, damn, that's my son.
Oh, God, yeah.
Let me ask you.
Nigga, that's me, nigga. that's my son. That's me. Where, like, that's the part of me. That's my seed.
Where was you when Niggas in Paris came out, man?
Where was I at?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I was locked up for sure. Mm. But I can't even recall, like, when I found out. I was already bumping it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Travis Scott, all that shit. I didn't really know nothing. You know, I heard I was in the hole, so probably when I got out, you know, I was listening to it, and niggas was talking in the next cage.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, yeah, that's Hit Boy shit. I'm like, damn, I ain't even say shit. Like, you know, that's my wall.
Mm-hmm. Start bragging. You want it done.
Yeah, I just thought to myself, like, damn, that was really my favorite song.
And did you always have a strategy, man? Like, as soon as my pops get out, man, it's on and cracking?
Nah, for sure. Man, yeah, like I said, and, you know, like you said about the interview that I talked about, like us getting there, getting close, you know, feel like we was going to finally put the album together and then, boom, we get locked back up. Like, it just was always on the top of our head. Like, we was tapping in. He had, you know, this last go-around had cell phones and shit. So we texting, we on the phone. We, you know what I mean? I didn't put him on the phone with Nas while I'm in a session with Nas just to give him, like, some encouragement and shit like that. And we just was cultivating the energy before he even touched down. That's why as soon as it happened, you know what I mean? It was just like instant, like, you know what I mean? Like we ain't stopping. And it's just like out of a personal fear. Like I only know him for being locked up for the most part of my life. I'm 36, but for 30 years of my life, he's been behind the wall. So it's like, that's a real fear. So it's like, nigga, I'm trying to get it all out right now because I don't know how life gonna end up. Yeah.
Hey, it's like, man, you could tell that you touched down and just like you just jumped off that motherfucking bus running, my nigga.
Yeah, I mean,
because y'all ain't stopped, man. I was looking, the first thing I saw, that's when I called glasses. I said, man, that's dope as hell, dude, doing shit with his pops, man. That shit is cold. You know what I mean? The dude that, because, you know, they always give us the rap as black fathers, man, that we not around our kids, and that's not true. Because every black man, I know everything I fuck with, they love their kids.
Oh, hey. Yeah.
They love their kids. I don't give a fuck if they thugging or square or whatever. They love their kids and their sons is always with them. You know what I mean? And so when y'all came home with this master plan, man, that you sit pop down and talk to him, was like, man, I just need you to just chill.
I got to do that every day to this day right now. If I dig it, like, I still got to do it, bro, because it's like, you know, the money come a little slower in this game. So it's like, you know, bro didn't touch some bread in the last 8 months, but it's like, shit is real out here. Motherfuckers got to spend to keep this shit going. So it's like, I just be trying to tell them, like, bro, you, like, fuck a buzz, nigga. You got niggas talking. You got all type of motherfuckers, you know, hopping on features with you, locking in, reaching out. You know what I mean? I just had 21 Savage reach out to me on the DM the other day, just, like, saluting, showing love to what we doing. And I'm just like, it's really touching, like, you know, the culture.
You got to get out of California for a minute?
Not really. I mean, I've been everywhere, huh, nigga?
You said
Chicago, New York, North Carolina, my nigga, everywhere you think of. You know what I'm saying? I've been there, Vegas, Humboldt County, shit, Mexico, like.
Mexico, yeah.
I mean, we worldwide, my nigga, so.
Let's get some of that money, man. Overseas money, man.
Trying to hit Tokyo.
Tokyo, Japan, y'all hear them out there, man. You know, the thing I love about it, man, is that this is almost like, man, it's one of them things, man, to where y'all motivating a whole bunch of other people, you. You know what I'm saying? The dude to come home, man, and really, man, like he, this man said, you've been locked up damn near his whole life. You feel what I'm saying? This man love you.
Absolutely.
You feel what I'm saying? You can look at him and tell, like, he like, that's my pops, man. I'm proud of him. And I see y'all out there moving. You got fans. You got the girls having you your stuff. Man, you know what I'm saying? You doing your thing, man, and, I really think, man, that you're going to have a whole lot of influence, man. I think God got plans for you, my nigga.
Guaranteed.
Like I really do. Like, you went through all this. I'm not no hella religious dude, but I am a spiritual dude, and I don't think nothing happened by accident, man. You can help a lot of people, man.
Nah, guaranteed.
You can help a lot of people because there's more people like you in this world, man, than with anybody else.
Straight
you
up.
Know what I'm saying? So I said, you got a hell of a story, man. And I think, man, this is just the beginning. And you go touch a lot of paper, man. Just be patient, my nigga.
Oh, God. I tell you, I believe that.
Literally right there.
You can tell you got a good spirit about yourself. You know what I'm saying? You can tell you ain't no faulty McNaughty nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, hell no.
You know, you can just look at you and tell, man. So when you came on, man, was it kind of surreal for you, man? You going to the studio with Game and all of that, man?
I mean, yeah. It was a surprise, but it was like a finally type shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's get to it, my nigga. Like, should have been happening type, you know, situation.
Yeah, you could tell you've been rapping for a long time.
Yeah.
And you could tell you've been rhyming for a long time. And as far as like the projects, I see we came with the first album, man, Truth in These Eyes, man. Then we got the Paisley album. What's next? I saw one Dom coming up next, right?
Dom Snow.
Right. He tapped in with a lot of people, man. Really though, he put out 3 albums because I put my Surfer Drown Volume 2 out and he was rapping on 9 out of 10 songs. So it's like 3 albums in 8 months, man. And just like to see the progress this fast. And just like, we was just in Vegas, man. Like, you got people coming up like, yo, can I get a pick with Big Hit? You know what I mean? Like,
brother back at the crib ass popping. You popping, dog.
Where in
in Ohio.
Oh yeah, oh man.
My little brother, he said, man, you know who Big Hit is? I said, yeah, I know. Man, I said, he cracking that.
That's hard.
Doing this shit, man. And that's the thing, man. Have y'all got to go out of state shit and text other people?
I mean, we done went to New York a couple times since he been out, Vegas a couple times and shit, but we definitely plan on just getting out, moving, especially touring, you know what I mean? It's already been a couple people to approach about, you know, potential ideas for tours and shows and shit like that. So I feel like we're gonna be everywhere soon.
Yeah, for sure, man. Y'all definitely got to hit that road because that's where you're going to make that bag at, dog.
Straight up.
You know, this industry, man, you really in it, so I can't tell you nothing about this business, man. It's one of the most phony things in the world, and this shit really have you want to hurt some motherfuckers.
What?
Because I've been managing G almost since the beginning, so all the ups and downs, like through the Cash Money deal.
Right.
And through, like, this nigga going to go rap for Jay, like when he was, you know what I'm saying, when he was just first getting on, man. It's a lot of lying front ass niggas.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's bad, man. And I didn't have issues with a lot of niggas in this game, top level motherfuckers. So it's like, I just, you know, that's why this shit right now, bro, is so important for me, because like, I'm just like, I'm tired of chasing motherfuckers. I'm tired of giving niggas real life hits or helping nigga get a Grammy and a motherfucker act like they don't know you, you know what I mean, type shit. And it's like, I would rather not even deal with that, because that shit do make you want to hurt a nigga, you know what I mean? Real.
And soul.
I done almost called a few niggas out for squabbles, my nigga. Literally, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't fuck what your name is, like, but it is what it is. You can't even let it be, you know, let it be an emotional thing, because that's just the nature of this corny ass shit, bro. Like, that's why I don't even consider myself to be in the industry no more, bro. And I done made, you know, been a part of Jay-Z biggest song, Travis Scott biggest song, Nipsey Hussle biggest song. And just the way this shit has moved and the way I see niggas get down, and it's not even really about your talent, I can't stand this shit no more, my nigga. So, like, this is the most authentic thing I could be doing, so I'm going to put everything I got into this, because I'm just tired of chasing motherfuckers.
Is that why you decided to go? Because I'm pretty sure you being who you is, you could have took him anywhere you wanted to and got a deal, pretty much.
Yeah, no, we had offers coming in, man, but I didn't have multiple record deals and label deals and, you know, again, bro, go back to the industry shit, beyond the artist. You have a nigga in the marketing department hating on you just because he personally feel away. Fuck, you know what I mean? Just the artist. It's the nigga corny motherfuckers in the office hating on you too. So it's like, I can't deal with that, bro.
That's how it is. Because especially a man like him that's a real dude, I can't see him being willing to put up with some of the bullshit that these dudes be coming at you with, because I'm going to tell you, Big Hit, it'll be one motherfucker in the building that ain't fucking with you and it'll slow your whole project.
Oh, God.
It'll slow your whole process.
And they'll have some other vested interest. They got their own artists who they trying to wiggle through that lane that you in, you know, whatever the fuck, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm not trying to give nobody no power over me ever again. And for as long as I make music, I'm just a nigga who make music, bro. That's good enough that sometimes big motherfuckers reach out to do, you know, make music with me. But I just don't look at myself as a part of this shit.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast.
Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's been the biggest thing hit, so big hit so far that you don't seem to kind of open your eyes at the shit like, damn, this shit really like that?
That shit really like what? Fake?
Yeah.
Shit, it's like, I don't know. Even like, I was telling him, right? Like, I seen him give niggas 8, 9, 10 beats and don't get no chili. And I'd be like, you can't go to get no bricks, my nigga, on ass. You know what I'm saying? You can't go.
My niggas ain't dropping the beats, though. They might record to them, but they you know what I mean? Right. You don't get paid just for a nigga recording to your beats. They got to drop the songs. I get paid sad, when niggas drop.
You official, my nigga. You know these niggas got that pewter. You know what I'm saying? You coming through, hum, you know what it is. You know it's that fire, my nigga. You know what you gonna get. We stamp, you get, spend your dollars. This is what it is. You're not finna get no credit, none of that. Where the chili at? This is certified hits. This is certified bricks. Same shit. That's how I look at it. And just like, I don't know. You gotta wait for your dollars. You gotta, if he, I don't know, all that extra.
Net 30, you know, net,
let's get
net
to the 60, bag. That's it.
Net 45, all that.
You gotta invoice niggas and all that shit, man. You gotta go really chase motherfuckers for your money.
Yeah.
Just imagine this.
And it'd be pennies compared to what they making. Niggas out there touring, making, printing money, millions. And you trying to hit the label up for a bullshit-ass advance check, you know what I mean? Like, that shit just whack.
Y'all definitely doing it the right way, man, because I remember Glasses, man, being in this situation, man, where I ain't gonna put no names out there because I don't do the messy shit, but we go to shoot the video, you know, the Haters video on Atlanta with, you know, Wayne and all of them, man. We come back, you know, to get the rest of the budget because,
yeah,
you know, we got things to do. They tell us the budget gone. The motherfuckers don't charge us for being in the video.
Oh, wow.
You feel what I'm saying? It's like, damn, the budget is gone. And that was a nice little chunk of change. How much they charge? You know what I'm saying? I will say this, though, man. Stunner is a real nigga.
Yeah.
He ain't perfect, dog, but he a real nigga.
Why?
You feel what I'm saying?
I ain't never really got to build with him, but definitely want him a big hit to tap in. Tap in, blood. Whoa.
Oh, you definitely got to tap in with Stunner. What up, Stunner, man?
Yep.
He one of the real dudes, man, but would it make you realize, man, it's like, when you go up in Universal, they got the Cash Money thing up there.
Yeah.
That all became like one of their labels now. You feel what I'm saying? Oh. So it's like, man, after a while, like everything ain't just what you see. Because I hear a lot of people give Stunner Man grief for shit that he ain't really done wrong. It ain't him. It's the motherfuckers up in the office.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You may be looking at him like Cash Money, but he's still Cash Money. But he's not really Cash Money.
Like he ain't writing the contract up himself. I mean, that's, bro, I didn't have to explain that to people about, you know, I've been in this publishing deal with UMPG Universal since I was 19, but it's a co-pub with the homie Polo the Don, you know what I mean? And it's like Polo Simon, he was 25, I was 19. Nigga from Atlanta, hustler, dope, you know, was a dope artist, producer, whatever. That nigga didn't sit there and write that contract and be like, I want to keep this kid in his contract forever. It was the fucking people that knew what they was doing, the lawyers and the people in the office that wrote up my contract. It wasn't Polo himself, you know what I mean? He was 25 years old. This nigga ain't no shit about publishing like that, you know what I mean? So.
But it be that little shit like that to get a motherfucker hurt, though, dog. Because if you don't know no better, a lot of dudes, I'm going to tell you, try explaining some shit like that to Big Hit.
Yeah.
He walk up on them all, he going to want to know, we call my nigga Mike Chili, he going to want to know where his chili at.
Man.
Man, that be asking no questions, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Anybody ever tell you remind him of Prodigy a little bit?
Gang of Time.
Yeah, you remind me of P a little bit, man. You know what I'm saying? The
West. I'll be hearing that too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You like that, man. So the biggest thing, man, I can say, man, is just keep doing what you're doing. And please don't go back, man, because I want to have you back when this motherfucker, when you get your gold out.
So
push the gold, when y'all push the platinum and all that, because it's very attainable, man. I enjoyed the albums, man. I enjoyed the projects very much, man.
Let's check.
The one with Game, man. When did you, because your production is real soulful, man. It's like you picked the right beats for him.
Wow.
You picked the right production for him, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, man, just, you know, I try to mess with every style. Like, you got shit like P-Fiction on there, which is like a modern, brand new bounce, you know what I mean? Some unheard of shit. Then you got, like, the Song Cry sample. Like, I just try to be all across the board and just have something that just, at the end of the day, just sound right.
And I definitely, man, I wouldn't mind, man. You know, you need to go down there and do a project with Stunner, man.
Man, yeah, on God. Yeah, on Bleak. I was supposed to, like, before my last bid, before I got out, my nigga Blood from Bounty Hunter, Pop Dead, I'm saying, yeah, PD, he's supposed to, like, late.
He's Pop Dead, that's the homie.
You know, yeah, PD on God. I was in affairs with him, you know what I'm saying? I used to be looking out for Pop.
That's my nigga, that was my nigga.
All the niggas from Hunters, Izzy, all the niggas. But, yeah, Face, all them fools. So, yeah, TH, whoa. Well, yeah, what Pop Dead was telling me about Baby. You know what I'm saying? I was like, damn, was that right? Whoa, whoa. And he's like, man, we gonna lock straight in, because he know I had it on light. We used to be over there freestyling with the gang and niggas from New York, and I'd be the only West Coast nigga really rapping. You know what I'm saying? But all the niggas from Philly, New York, North Carolina, just spitting ciphers. Them niggas, and I was be in there just doing my shit.
My homie Big Y, rest in peace, man. He used to tell me, man, still, they buy a gang of CDs in the jail, man. You got your stuff jumping off in there yet?
Not yet. I'm going to get it. It's on J-Pay. Yeah, J-Pay. I'm talking about my books. I'm finna get in the books, the access package. They tripping. They on that. They want it. Mm-hmm. CDs, the physicals. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You ever thought about doing the acting?
Yeah, I'm for sure. Guaranteed. I got a book. Got a couple ideas with some, Sanford and Son type shit. Mm-hmm. You know, new age type shit, though.
Yeah, because right now, man, it's wide open, man. I don't like speaking on stuff, but this stuff is official now. Me and the homie Willie D from Ghetto Boys starting our own TV network.
Oh, that's killing.
Just got our little stuff together for that, man, because right now, it's a part of the game. You don't really have to fuck with the system. Like, because I'm going to tell you, YouTube been robbing motherfuckers for years, dog. Mm. Think about it like this. If you get a $10,000 check every month from YouTube, you really got a $20,000-$25,000 check.
More than that.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Because they cut into that, and they telling you that you're getting 60, 70% of it, but you don't know what you're getting because you don't never see no, you don't know what the ad revenue's costing. And I'm going to tell you this. We make more off our audio on this show than we do video. That's why I don't really put video out. People be like, why you don't put this? I'm like, man, we ain't getting paid right for it. I ain't in there letting the motherfucker just do me any kind of way. You feel what I'm saying? This man done been with me since the beginning, man. We was trying to start a streaming network back in, what year was that being? 2019, we was trying to do what Tubi doing now in 2019, but I realized I didn't have the capital at the time because the bandwidth just cost so much at the time. But now, man, it's like, man, all the movies on Tubi that people be watching, niggas be laughing at and shit, them niggas making money.
Yeah.
They making a lot of money, dog.
Man.
They making a whole lot.
We trying to get our own shit, too. That's what I was telling him, we're not our own station. Yeah. You know, our own app, you know what I'm saying? People can come download that shit every month.
Yeah,
that's like hit music.
Yeah. You need to get an app, man. And if you understand the way CPM is working, that's what I study. Because shout out to Charlamagne the God. He the one that taught me one day. He was like, still, you're going to make more money off your audio. Because Charlamagne is one of the most fairest niggas I don't ever met. Because I knew about the podcast game because I had a network already, right? But I didn't know everything that he knew. And he could have signed me to a fucked up deal, but he did a licensing deal with me where I maintain ownership off of all our stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's a check every year. Nice one.
That's killer.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You get the majority of the revenue from it and everything else, man. It's a cool situation, but y'all definitely need y'all on app, man. Y'all need y'all on, like, when y'all talk about doing them Sanford and Son movies, because we at a time right now, man, where you can go shoot a flick for $15,000. I'm talking about and look like you don't spend a couple hundred on there. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. It's all about how you really mean. You know that sound for the Son. It's like a sitcom.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
If you get that, man, because I'm going to tell you, if you think about Sanford that Son, right, that was all done in the sound stage. They ain't never leave that little living room.
Right.
You might have saw the kitchen every once in a while, but that was all in one location, man, probably with three or four cameras in there.
Yeah.
They just did, and they made millions of dollars off that show. You know what I'm saying? So y'all could do the same thing. It's a spot right now on Burbank that me and Glass is fucking with. They got the living rooms in there, got a full restaurant in there.
Inside. Yeah. Man, I wonder if I've been there.
You've probably been there before. It's like $100 an hour, man.
I think I have. Where he did the shit with, leave something for the bitches. Yeah, oh God, yeah, I shot some shit over there too. I fuck with that spot.
You going to this castle there, they go in there and shoot movies, man. So the game is really wide open now, man. You don't have to depend on nobody. If you shoot movies, go shoot your own shit. Go get you a camera. You ain't got to start, man. I was watching some shit, and I'm leading the motherfucker to it. Some niggas from New York made the movie Money and Violence, the series Money and Violence. You ever seen that shit before?
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy, man, but them cats from New York shot that shit themselves, and it's some of the illest shit I've ever seen. It's some street shit, like. Now, man, it's cats out there shooting movies with cell phones.
That's why we was able to, I feel like, get this buzz going so quick because we dropped so many videos back to back. I went and bought the equipment, you know what I mean? Hired the director, I build with him every day. We talk about visual shit. I'm just as much invested on the visual side as everything else I'm doing, you know what I mean? Like, that shit been important. So that was a major part, just having invested in that shit so we could just
drop videos whenever we feel like it.
Well, the thing is, with most creative people, man, what side of the brain, they say that is the left side of the brain?
Right.
Is that the creative side of the brain? Most left brain people, and I know if I'm wrong, fuck, y'all know what I'm talking about. But most people that use that side of the brain, they can usually draw, they can usually write scripts, they can usually write books. So I guarantee you got some hella movies up in you. Plus your experience.
You got all the ideas, man.
I need to plug you with my nigga Spud, man. Spud is my guy that did a lot of time. He from where is Spud from? He from Inglewood, though. And he done sold a couple hundred thousand books. Actually, me and him about to take a couple of his books and make him some, you know, make some movies out of them. He got the most gangster shit I don't ever read. Like some whole ass crazy. I'm like, man, you wrote this when you was in the feds, dog.
He's in the feds?
Yeah.
Spud?
Yeah, Spud. All right. Yeah, the homie Spud, yep. Shout out to Spud. But Spud, he got in the book game. He actually got his book deal when he was locked up.
Yeah, it sound like GP. But, hey, yeah, shit. I just try to go off just my life, you know what I'm saying? And then I can't, a lot of shit I can't talk about, but that shit that I do talk about is entertaining and that's like too much.
Yeah, for sure. I know some shit you can't put on there, man, but, you know, yeah. Imagination is a motherfucker.
Nah, I know, but.
Once you just
keep it like that, it's like it's too much already. Like, I don't have to make shit up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's already just, it's too much, my nigga. But,
yeah, for sure, man. So, is there anybody that, because it seemed like everybody done been reaching out to you. Is there anybody you want to work with, man, that you ain't heard from yet?
Cardi B on Bloods. Yep, Cardi.
Yeah, Cardi, that'd be hard right there, man.
She going to tap in on
Cardi, that'd be hard, man. You know who I think you should, I think him in jail or something.
Who that? Oh, man, hell, y'all just seen people say that, too. Yeah, and Cube, I think him and Cube will be hard, right?
Yeah, because the cool thing about you, dog, is you got the shit from our era, right? But you got that new shit, too. It's like a hybrid almost of the shit, you know what I mean? Because you don't sound like no data. You could tell you've been keeping your blade sharp, you know what I'm saying?
I used to be battling them little niggas in pen in prison, like
niggas be getting down like that in there.
Yeah, they be calling each other out, talking shit. Stopped rapping because niggas are gonna they get mad and you want to fight, get stabbed, and all kind of shit like in their feelings because I'ma disrespect you on God.
Oh, so you just go in
all the way in. You ain't gonna want to fight and all that. So I don't even rap.
I was watching that battle rap shit. The homie Fab had a nigga in his face that was so disrespectful. I can't make it. What's the nigga from Detroit, man, with the braids, man? He was on there talking about busting nuts in his daughter's face. And I was like, man, I would have stole on this nigga. I went off, man. I couldn't take it.
That's wild. Yeah, nah. I ain't doing all that. That shit be intense. Yeah, it be intense, but I'll destroy you other ways. But this nigga's hard as fuck. Like, spit all day long. Just, that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
For real.
Nigga, so you had, like, when you came out and wrote these albums, was these raps already done or you just wrote everything fresh and new?
It was a mixture, combination, you know, it's inspiration. Like, shit, I just wanted to get out first. Mm-hmm. And then I felt like it wasn't hard enough and I just rewrote it, you know what I'm saying, off the head. And then certain songs I got inspired and just wrote right then and there, like with me and Game. Just as soon as I hear the beat, I get on it, whatever I'm feeling. And, you know, with other songs, I just like didn't even just wanted to get them out. So I just put them to any beat, you know.
Yeah, y'all ain't linked up with Sugar Free yet?
Nah, not yet. But it's funny because, right, probably a couple months before you touched them, Sugar Free had hit me on the phone and shit, and it was just like saying, you know, your pop's a solid one, whoop-de-whoop, and then, you know what I mean?
He screamed at him, though.
Oh, you chopped it with him? Oh, okay. So we got to get in, though, shit.
Sugar Free is family, man. Them some of the first people I went on the road with, like, when I, shout out to Tony.
I know. I didn't hear any rap about Tony Lang.
Like, Tony was the first dude to give me a check in this business, and I always acknowledge that, the first one.
Yeah, it's hard. Now, my nigga, Lil Ducky from Up Fruits, he the one put me up on him. He said, that's his rally.
Yeah.
You know, I was in the pen with Blood, so he's like, yeah,
fuck with him.
Yeah, Tone a real nigga.
Blood cousin or something.
Yeah, Tone a real nigga, man. Hopefully my nigga, you know, get his health back right, you know what I'm saying? Because he had a stroke a while ago, man. He ain't been the same since then.
Damn.
But that's, I'm going to have to shoot down there and see him, man. But he's a real dude, man. And we need, see, I'm going to tell you something, man. Niggas always talk shit about Shug and all them cats, but you need them cats in the game because they was making these motherfuckers act right.
No, for sure.
Because I don't see Tone cuss old girl out when she was over at, she came there offering him $1 million, man. And I saw Tone cuss her out the next week. Old girl from Capitol Records, man.
Keep it a thaw while you feel it, huh? Shit.
But you need them because the shit, I'm going to tell you this, Shug wasn't nothing but a blessing to niggas. The niggas that was getting their ass whooped and shit, some of them niggas deserved them whoopings, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I wasn't around. I don't really know the situation.
Shug just made sure everybody
was. Imagine. Everybody was accountable.
They was accountable.
Me.
Because you ain't never heard about them not paying nobody. Everybody was, man, all them dudes got paid, man, for they didn't put albums out. They was making money then, man. They dropped classics over there, man. You know, while you on the independent stuff with your dad, man, I noticed you chose not to even, y'all not even work with a distributor. Y'all doing everything at the
pop-up side. Yeah, I mean, we just, you know, his website, bighitnupid.com, and just pop-ups for right now, for the truth is in my eyes. Like, you know, just wanted to really just, like, build something that felt more special than what everybody else is doing, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's a brick-by-brick thing. It ain't, you know, we trying to come out and, like, you know, we would love to sell a million records, and I feel like eventually we're going to get there, but right now it's like, let's see who really, really rocking with us.
Yeah, it's a grind, man. I'm going to tell you, man, I'm going to send you the information on that Midem thing, because I was going to tell you, are y'all willing to, like, sell CDs to other these distributors around the world?
For sure, for sure.
You wanted to sell, like, the physical units and stuff?
1,000,000,000%.
Because I'm pretty sure, man, there's cats out there looking for it. Man, I'm like, I need to go buy 1,000 of these. You know what I'm saying? I need to buy 2,000 of these. And that's the wholesale thing. You know what I'm saying?
Just tap in on that, for sure.
And that move a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Move a little bit quicker, because, you know, instead of one or fewer at a time, right, you're moving 100, 200, 300. You know what I'm saying?
Straight up.
Hustle, you know, start selling them bricks, you know what I'm saying?
What? Man, you know, that
moving the zones to the hatch, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
Moving the zones and bricks. So, man, what's next, man? Y'all just gonna keep working, man?
Yeah, working, man. We more visual shit, movies, documentaries. People been approaching us about a whole lot of stuff, man. Like, Pops, he got an idea for a dope-ass, like, musical / play, like, whatever, you know what I mean? Just about his life, our life. Man, yeah, just taking it to that level, man, really, like, continuing to hone in on what we're doing and just making it doper, tighter.
Man, that's cool, man. I really appreciate y'all stopping through. And I know that the communication today, man, because y'all been up here
for a while. Yeah, we was here for a good 2 hours before we started. That was solid, though, you know what I mean? Shout out 8, my nigga. Go make stuff fresh, my nigga. You're a Jay Worthy, my nigga.
Fresh
out the kitchen.
He could be mad in the muff. He was like, he called me. He said, man, I am in traffic, man. He said, where all this stuff come from? Because usually, you know, he out in the IE.
Oh, okay.
So usually when he comes
back. Yeah, our traffic hit different.
Cool,
yeah,
man. Like, man, it's been an accident or something like that, man. I'm like, man. I said, we going to have to get it going.
That's all I love. Now, respect to bro, though, for sure.
Actually, I'm going to tap in with him right now.
Hey. Yeah, my mom live in the IE, so I know how that's brutal. Gia.
What's up? I was telling the homies, I said, man, they in all kind of traffic. Now, how far are you away? All right, for sure, for sure. All right. He said, man, he said, I'm 10 minutes away, man.
For sure.
Y'all want to get a little bit in with him?
Yeah, we can.
We get a little bit in with him, man. I just, man, Big Hit, I'm going to tell you something. I ain't no preaching type of nigga, man. Just hold on, dog.
On everything I am, bro. I'm here.
Just hold on for you, man.
Nah, I'm here, my nigga. I'm locked in. This nigga locked me in. He's
yeah, for sure.
That's my crutch.
Because if I got to call,
feel me?
If I got to call some of the Japanese homies, man, and just get you over there set for two or
three. Nah, for real. That shit is.
Because I would tell you, man, you go over there, man, it's just a little bit different, man. They walk down the street and they know everything that's popping in our culture. And I'm going to tell you, overseas, man, they appreciate the shit over here more than niggas that's over here do. Because you got to remember, where we at, everybody think they a rapper already. Everybody got a podcast already. Everybody there think they on the same level. Be a nigga that made beats to think he on the same level as you, dog.
Trust me. I know.
No. On the same level as you, dog, and it'll trip you out. Not to just think they all that or whatever, but it'd be like, man, like, what have you done, my nigga? You know what I mean? And
I figured. Most of the people that talk shit in my comments, being an artist and a producer, and I click their page, they'd be an artist, they damn self. Like, what you in my comments hating on my shit for, nigga? And you trying to get on. Like, that shit weird.
That's what it is, man. See, and then a lot of times, man, people don't know how to approach people.
Right.
And then this game is so, it's like with the podcast stuff, it's really getting retarded now, man, because you got niggas that'll say anything.
Yeah.
They'll say anything. They'll say a nigga is gay. And they don't even know you. A nigga say he whooped your ass before. Man, you don't even know this nigga. It's all kind of shit. Everybody is trying to pop off any way they can, man. And really, it's just a lot of people being intellectually lazy, man, because don't nobody really want to put.
Nobody want to read either.
Nobody want to do the research, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't nobody do the research, man. I ain't never been locked up no extended period of time. Thank God, man, because God knows I don't got away with some shit in my life, man. But I had to imagine, man, that shit like mother got to be like hell, my nigga.
Man, that shit's torture, my nigga. I don't give a fuck how long you did. You can't never get used to it.
I can imagine, man, because, the few times I have been locked up just on been a little holding, taking situations. And I bail out, but every time I was in there, man, it seemed like that something can pop off at any minute. There's always a nigga trying to talk to you. There's always a nigga trying to find out where you from. There's always a nigga just asking too many questions. And you just trying to just stay yourself. You like, man, I wish she heard me post this damn bail, man, so I get the fuck up out of this motherfucker, dog.
Hell yeah.
And the thing that tripped me out, man, I remember one time I was locked up in Long Beach, man. You know, it's like, and you know, it's niggas down there that probably don't been in there for a week or two. They let you out the little thing, you in the little hallway and shit, man. Everybody in there, you know, talking and shit. They doing whatever. I'm just posted up like this right here. And they open up them doors, you know, with the beds in them. And niggas just like programmed to go right in them motherfuckers, right? They go in. And so I'm in there, man. I didn't even lay on the bunk. I'm just sitting there looking like, cause I'm like, I'm about to bail out this motherfucker, right?
Right.
And I see a dude lay on a thing like this. He just go to sleep automatically, man. The big ass roach just crawled up in his mouth, man. And I was like, damn, a dude just kept a peek. And I was like, damn, and then they had this little Kool-Aid in there, man. That Kool-Aid seemed like it give you a headache like a motherfucker. I drank a couple of Kool-Aid, and it was like my head started hurting and shit. And I was like, damn, what is this shit?
Man, that shit death. And that shit seemed like torture. I clean the grills and the toilets with that shit.
What you think? What is that shit, man? What kind
of chemicals like something else.
They trying to make a motherfucker.
That's what I used to paint with.
Yeah,
it's no sugar in it, but it's sweet as fuck.
That's what it tasted hella sweet. I drunk me a couple glasses.
Oh, man, I didn't drink it.
I went for it first, but I got me a couple of cups of that shit. Homie Black Tone said he think they put Thurazine in that shit.
Nah, they put that other shit, though, that Peter Soft.
Shit,
so your dick won't get hard.
Oh, yeah.
On bloods, I didn't drink that shit. I knew that from way back getting locked.
Niggas,
I don't
they just make motherfuckers.
Jaws, they be trying to man. They on some bullshit up in there.
Yeah, I heard
giving you some shit so your shit won't get hard. My niggas be not having babies and some more shit.
I got uncles, man. I think that's what kept me from getting locked up, man. I had uncles that spent a lot of time in the pen, and then the dudes that kind of raised me. You know what I'm saying? And they would tell me, man, that like I had uncles that was in Lucasville and Ohio and shit and just different places. And they was telling me, man, they would have had homies just disappear in that motherfucker. They wouldn't know where they went. He said it was killing motherfuckers in there and everything.
Yeah.
Man.
Hell yeah.
Talk about like the boy. I ain't talking about like
anything. They hit me in the basement.
Yeah.
They killed me in that motherfucker. Hit me in the basement on God in Heaven.
Is that
woke
right?
Woke up like 7 days later in USC Medical Center. everything. The doctor was like, you made it, nigga. Like, had a tool down my throat, shackled down to a bed, like, fucked off. Cracked ribs, collapsed lungs, all that.
So they was just up in there just torturing people?
Man, they beat me. They beat me. I remember a little bit, but,
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower.
lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got off on me.
Yeah, man, you know what, man? What would be the one thing you would tell a young motherfucker just going in?
Shit. Just chill out, my nigga. Ain't got really nothing to prove. You know what I'm saying? That shit is old. I mean, a lot of niggas in there just really ain't got nothing to lose. You know what I'm saying? Just so don't try to follow nobody. If you're going to do something, be a leader and do something that's you know, make sure it's worth it for yourself, not the next nigga, because a nigga will send you on a mission to put a battery on your back. Then you get caught up in that whirlwind and you have problems that you ain't even create. The next nigga done created something, because them problems don't never go away in there. It's always, it's never ending. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's going to follow you from the next prison to the next prison to the next prison. It's always follow you. It's not just going to stay right there. It's stuck. Either you got a problem with niggas, Mexicans, white boys, or police. It's never ending.
And it's real political, because I was talking to the homie Gorilla Black when he came back, and he was telling me, man, that you can't even talk to the Mexican homie.
I mean, you could talk to them, and she just can't eat with them. You can't shower with them. You can't drink out of their faucet, you know, that type of shit. You ain't shit on their little, it's like the 80s, you know, whatever the fuck, the 60s, 50s, or whatever.
So, you know what I'm saying?
So, it's segregated. Like,
right here, he white. So if he up in that motherfucker, you can't.
They will butcher him. He'll be lamb meat. But yeah, just being cool. From up here, drinking out the same cup and shit like that, they'll kill his ass.
So even if a motherfucker, your brother-in-law on the street, you can't function with that motherfucker at all in there.
I mean, he would have to come in the gate, like pressing the line like that. You got some white bloods, you got some white Crips that come through. You got some white, you know what I'm saying, Mexican bloods and Mexican that come through pressing the line off the top. And once they know, like, we're going to go for them, we're going to push the line and kill for them, they going to fall back. You know what I'm saying? They got some niggas that went... You know what I'm saying? Mexican mafia be like, niggas be like, funny ass nigga. But he really like them, put in work for him and shit. And
yeah, I heard that, man. Them. I actually met a nigga, a black dude, man, that said he was in the
media. He pushed the red on the nigga, like, yo, for sure.
How does shit like they allow that shit to go down?
Yeah, they allowed it. They done put in work. They done did some shit. You know what I'm saying? They done really grew up over there. You know what I'm saying?
So they just got a reputation, man. And it seemed like that's the biggest thing that catch niggas, the politics. The homie was telling me when he went in there, he had to run 10 fades.
Yeah, it depends on where, you know, how many enemies you got in that block or whatever. So you got five enemies, you got to run them off. You got 10 of them, you got to run. You got 20, you got to roll. I done seen niggas tap out at 3. I don't know. Like, fuck it, man, I'm through. My nigga, he was winning. I was like, damn, little nigga, don't quit now. Because, you know, you rolling up. Now you can't, it's going to be problems where you go. Your own homie's going to fuck you up now. So I'm like, you should have just kept running the rest of these niggas, because he was winning. He was just tired. Like, man, I'm cool. Like, dog, get up, nigga. Pop, pop, pop.
That's the homie.
Like, girl, nigga,
you know what I mean? He said,
you really couldn't beat him up. He was just tired.
So that's what he said. You know, Gorilla Black, a big old nigga. Like, he said he went in there, man. The first fade he ran, he said he got with dude. Second fade he ran, then he said he started getting tired. He said, still, it was them young niggas.
He's coming fresh. He said, still got to fight him fresh.
Bing, 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 bing. Yep. Says, you got to run him. He said, man, you just go have to run three more. You go have to run.
They'll tell you how many you got. Yep.
Because he said,
you lined up. Lined up.
So you pretty much just fighting for your whole neighborhood there.
Yep.
Whatever your neighborhood.
Yeah, you when know. You go in, ain't no putting your mat down, none of that. You got to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck. You come here at 2 in the morning. Oh, you from where? Oh, yeah, all right. To the back. He's waking up. Hey, you know, once the nigga just came in. What? All right, niggas. Hey, this nigga just came in. He got a line of niggas. They should have run you.
I see you be getting your cardio in still, man.
Hell yeah. Fuck that. Those little niggas ain't finna run me. Oh, God. Last five, I was like, fuck, this nigga's like 20-something. And I had some young homies like, I got this blood. I'm got your back. I got the fade. I'm for you. Nah, I got my own fade. Ain't no, for real.
That the homie
turn into something else.
Nigga came in there, man. Slay. He was so fast. He said, "Steel, this nigga hit me 20 times, man, before I got the swing one." He said, "I just
believe him."
See, I landed one and that caught his ass. But he said that motherfucker put knots all on his head, man.
Yeah, that's deep. I throw your shoulder out, sir.
Hey,
what's the deal? Let her know. A pleasure.
And my dad, our face, man, you're at Park Club here.
Man, shit, you know, I've been keeping up here, keeping it going, man.
Yeah, man.
I told him she was on track. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm driving for the fucking trip, but.
Well,
My mom live out there in Rancho Cucamonga. Oh, shit, you out there.
I'm 1,000 miles
away. Oh, okay, yeah.
Traffic was short. Let's see if he cracking, my nigga. What's good, big hit? It's moving, I see, huh? Yes, sir.
Yes, man. Straight up.
Yeah, man, it's all good, man. Shit, it's lovely. Y'all doing your thing, man. It's lovely, man. Shit, it's a beautiful thing for us motherfucking older niggas, man, getting it in. Shit. Yeah, that's it. It ain't nothing to a motherfucking G. You know what I'm saying? Yes, sir.
Get out of fuck, nigga.
I'll tell you, my niggas, just
get out of work out.
Yes, sir.
I was talking to Hit about these labels and shit, right? And I was like, I can't wait to Eight come up here. He would have a field day. He was telling me, man, despite all them hit records he have, he don't gave everybody all them hits, motherfuckers be trying to handle you any kind of way.
Straight up.
You know, these it's unfortunate, man. We can do a lot of shit for this industry as far as trying to put our footprint in this shit. And we just don't get the respect still. You know what I'm saying? As far as for a motherfucker who been grinding this shit, especially like you, you know what I'm saying? You've been putting in a lot of work, but they still like to keep the little reins on us and shit. You know what I'm saying? Right. Try to not give us our full respect in this game. That's why it's so beautiful, man, to be able to witness what's going on with y'all right now. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't give us a lot of credit for what we do. You know what I'm saying? They look at our shit as, let's just face it, they look at our shit as street content that they don't respect because they don't understand it. You know, it's always been a struggle to kind of express our music to motherfuckers so they can't get it on a aspect of just about colors and bandanas and shit. It's a real at heart type of situation we come from in the struggle and the strife that we go through. So they still look at our shit as you know, underground, under the table shit.
Nah, for sure. I feel like, I mean, I was just saying to still, like, man, like, you know, half the shit of the motivation for me, like, to be doing this, how we doing this, selling direct to consumers, just everything I done dealt with in the industry. Like, this shit just feel way more, I feel way more empowered this way. You know what I mean? Like, really, like, Pops could just fully be himself. You know what I mean? We ain't got to switch nothing up. We ain't got to listen to this person who don't understand the you know what I mean, the code and the ethics and the reality of what's going on. You know what I mean? Like, we understand this shit, so we running with it. Wherever we land is where we land. We going to just keep pushing.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Sounds there. That's definitely.
Hell yeah. Eight definitely got his motherfucking struggles with this shit. Eight told me, man, I've been putting my albums out independently for the past few years. I ain't never fucking with no record label again.
100.
I hit him up about a company that want to do a deal on the day. He said, been there, done that. No, I'm cool.
Yeah, man, I can kind of go at my own pace, you know, whatever, and basically I can do what the fuck I want to do, not have to worry about, you know, any kind of content or whatever I want to express. I just express it. They say our music is pastime and shit, but if we ain't doing it, who gonna do it? You know what I'm saying? So I just try to keep that going along, and I don't try to make money on the capitalization of trying to make money from it. I just look at it just trying to put out that content that's, we still got niggas struggling out there. Mm. You get me? Still niggas representing neighborhoods, still niggas walking the yards and shit. So like the homie down right now, my homie Chill, you know. So I just try to keep music on that aspect, not try to commercialize it too much. And I feel like, you know, with this industry right now, they want you to flip-flop so motherfucking much. You get me? So being independent and being able to put out what the fuck I want to makes me feel comfortable. God. You feel me?
It's the best feeling ever, man. Yes, we didn't drop Pop's been only been home 8 months. We got 3 albums out already. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, that's how you keep, you know, niggas wouldn't have been thinking that way back in the day type shit. It would have been like, we got to wait for this person. Mm-hmm. It's this and that. Like, I go buy the equipment myself now. We doing videos and dropping them bitches. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Whatever. We shoot a video in the morning and drop it that night. Like, we just on a, you know, just completely in an empowerment way, man. And that shit just feel great.
Is it good to come home and just touch that mic and get in there and just, you know, for as long as you've been doing it, you know what I'm saying, to finally get your product out there and you know what I'm saying, especially at your son behind it. Man, that's got to be the best right there.
Just, you know, trying to get everything out there, man. Just, it's a hard just picking which ones to come with first. So many I'm trying to just hurry up and flood it, but I know it's a process.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. But y'all working at your own pace and shit, so y'all can basically put out when you want, whenever and shit, just drop shit. Ain't got to get that okay from them labels and shit. So that's the best thing right there. And you representing your city, you know what I'm saying, your turf, your foundation. And I know people got to respect that all day. You feel me?
We threw a couple events out here in Pasadena.
Yeah, saw y'all do.
And people that pulled up on us. Yeah, exactly. Definitely. Legendary pool bars, man, like, was a, you know, going to that store when I was a little kid before I ever thought about making music, when I just was just a fan, and to be able to throw an event and, you know, people that have familiar faces and just people we don't know pulling up and motherfuckers getting a magazine and CD signed by Big Hit, man, that shit feel great, man. It's like literally a long time coming.
Hell yeah, I was telling Big Hit he reminded me of Prodigy a little bit.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Yeah, y'all look alike, man. That shit crazy, man. But thing is, man, you would think, man, that with the track record that you got, man, that you just call up there and just get some shit just like cracking. Hey, I want to do this, and this just on the crack.
Yeah, man. I mean, shit. You know, I got whatever leverage I got, but at the end of the day, it's just still like, you know, I ain't got no super powerful manager, you know what I mean? Like, if my manager was the same person that managed whoever the fuck, Weeknd, Taylor Swift, you know what I mean? Like, that shit just hit different when it comes to dealing with, like, I ain't sat in a label office in years, bro. Like, I've been getting placements and doing people albums. I ain't went to sit down with no exec type motherfucker. This shit is strictly off musicians reaching out to me, fucking with me, you know what I mean? From Nas to whoever, bro. Like, it's never been like a, oh, I gotta go sit down and poly with this person. Like, it's like my shit is strictly off talent. Artists reach out to me, come fuck with me, and next thing you know, we either got a song or an album or whatever, you know what I mean? And it's just strictly off the music. Hey.
Hey, man, let me ask you this. We got the third generation, man. Is that gonna be hit part three?
C3. Where you at, boy?
Where you at, man? Bring him over here.
All right, no good.
He's in his fort right now, man. Right, leave him alone. Right. He's in his fort right now, chilling.
He in his fort, man.
Look, you paused it. Come here.
Come here, man.
Do you feel, and I know, Hit Boy, you know, you probably can attest to this. We do a certain type of material, you know what I'm saying, you and I. We like to represent where we from. We like to speak where we from. In this day and age of these new ages and these rappers, do you feel any pressure to think that people don't accept your content of what you're speaking on and what you represent? Do you feel you got to follow a different code as far as hip-hop is concerned, or are you true to yourself and what you represent as far as your music?
Talking to me?
No, I'm talking to
you. Yeah.
I don't listen to nobody music, so I haven't heard nothing lately.
That's what I'm talking about.
Larry Poon. I don't know. I'm just stuck in my zone.
That's right.
Like, I do strictly me. Like, I don't give a fuck who like it or love it. You know what I'm saying? I go, this thing is my stamp. You know what I'm saying? You know, I see stamp, but if he don't stamp, I ain't got no problem with erasing all that shit and go to the next. I ain't gonna get butt hurt or nothing. Like,
right.
If it's hard, it's hard. If it's not, it's not. And it's just music. I create, I recreate, and I will recreate and keep recreating. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
If you don't like it, If you don't want no hard shit, I'm going to go to the game.
Exactly.
Now, that's motivation, though. That's motivation for me. I know it's a lot of those people trying to go that hard, but they can snoop like, nigga, do you better.
Do that hard shit. Do that hard shit. Exactly.
Like I was saying, that's motivation for me, like being around, you know, so many high-level artists and, you know, a lot of people overthink the process and, like, you know, and that's no disrespect to nobody process, but a lot of motherfuckers that just be in their head about every little thing, and Big Hit, he just, whatever come out, and it just be like this raw expression that just feel way more free than motherfuckers just, like, they be super boxing you in, like, you know what I mean? Like, Big Hit, he just, however that shit come out, that's genuinely him, you know what I mean? And I respect that.
Yeah, you got to, man, especially trying to, you know, stick to your gun, so to speak, you know what I'm saying? In this day and age, you get judged so much for what you put out, and especially us on the West Coast, you know, a lot of us come from that neighborhood life, you know, and our fucking music sometimes get stereotyped as negativity and shit like that. Because I get motherfuckers sometimes tell me, hey, Eight, why you still doing this?
Oh,
nigga, why you still rapping like this and you talking about the block and niggas and stuff? I'm like, because that's who I represent, you know what I'm saying? If I ain't gonna represent them, who? You know what I'm saying? The youngsters who come along, they don't know the walks of life that we went through as we come into this hip hop thing. So I like to keep that sustainable, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I like to keep that shit going on. So anytime somebody, you know, comes into my arena of what I do, you know what I'm saying? You got to respect that, you know what I'm saying? Because it's hard for us to try to keep this West Coast music and not just to focus on the gang lifestyle or the wherever we from, but just that's our music, you know what I'm saying?
Valid.
Trying to explain to people what goes on when we walk in them streets and you know, we going through those ways of life. So, you know, shout out to you, my nigga, for keeping it going like that.
This is a question I got for you, man. I don't know if I asked you this before. When you was fucking with them major labels, did you ever get them trying to change your shit up any?
Oh, definitely.
What was they trying to
do? Especially going through the times of when, you know, the labels was changing and they was fearing, you know, our shit, our content, when Suge and them and Death Row and, you know, we was going around being who we were. We didn't know how to be nothing but. When that time when the labels was like, we don't want to put out that shit no more. You get me? It was a lot of beefs going down, a lot of scraps and shootouts and whatever. So I got a deal to go over to Atlantic, and they tried to scrap my whole project because they felt like they no longer wanted to deal with our type of music. So then when it was time for me to walk in there and pick up the production deal check and get cracking, they was like, hold up, we want you to hear a beat from this guy now, you know, because the Ja Rule era was going down. So everything was turning into, why are you laughing, nigga?
I just want you to know the chill, everything I feel about you.
Fuck you.
That's funny.
But you know, the sing-song era was going down. Everything was love and happiness and, you know, let's pop some Cristal and shit and whatever. So, they felt they wanted to take me on that direction, and I said, fuck that. So I took a check, and I just walked out the door. You know, I've never been one to want to conform to whatever is popular. Nigga, for you, keep that shit. I'm just staying my lane and do me, because like I said, it's niggas like us every fucking where. You get me? You can't hide that fact. So whether you here, whether you, like I said, Compton, Pasadena, Houston, New York, right, fucking Louisiana, wherever, and it ain't even necessarily got to do with the gang thing, but it's just niggas like us everywhere. You feel me? So I try to represent that aspect and try to stay on that path and not change my shit, so to speak.
A solid. Oh God. I couldn't imagine it no other way, just knowing, you know what I mean, the music that I know from you and
just how authentic it come off. That shit don't even sound right going into that.
Yeah, trying to
shower room type of thing.
Sending silk shirts on and shit.
Man, I'm so glad. Hey, I'd have been so mad at you. Nigga, if I'd have looked on there and saw you in a shirt with a crystal bottle of spice and shit, this shit on,
I would have been
like, what they do to the homie?
That's funny.
And then they think,
I ain't knocking them, my nigga. I'm finna be up in there with the.
Nothing wrong with getting flossy, man. Naughty, you know what I mean? But damn, you ain't gonna be up in there singing like Ja Rule and shit, though. Ja Rule had it.
I don't know about Ja Rule.
For the note, Ja Rule was a good artist for what he did.
Like, hey,
who had it?
Nah, that nigga was God as shit, for sure. He was going up, I'm just saying that's two different spectrums.
I got some melodies.
You know, Big Ends, the show got his melodies. It's just a melody.
Nigga.
He said, God, don't even fuck around.
Melody,
You said you about to get in with Ty Dolla $ign?
Man, just got in.
Man.
Did four songs in one session.
Didn't hear that shit.
That's good. That's good.
Ty is a phenomenal nigga, dog. Ty is hard, dog.
Yeah, oh my. Too hard. I know, bro, for a long time, bro. Around the same time I know Glasses. Since like 05, you know? Yeah, they was definitely two people that was
Was you just writing like a motherfucker? Just writing?
Every day, all day.
Just writing like a motherfucker, yeah. That's what the homies do, man. Get in there and just get to writing and expressing all they shit, man, putting it down.
Hey, the cold part is that they wouldn't even let him write on regular paper. Like, he had to get medical slips and, like, forms that, like, already had writing and shit on them and write around that shit because they was taking all this shit.
Oh, they try to, yeah. Oh, fuck it. Flip that shit over on the blank side, niggas, write it down.
Demotivate a motherfucker like that?
Nuts, homie. It's nuts.
That's just some hater-ass shit.
They give you one piece of paper, like, two pieces of paper. You know what I'm saying? Like, every 4 days, 5 days or some shit. I'm saying, like, two envelopes. I just get every paper. Give me a medical slip. Give me a request slip. Give me a, you know what I'm saying, a write-up. You know what I'm saying? Give me a grievance form, a complaint form, all kind of shit. I just write on the back, right in between the lines.
Is any of them motherfuckers cool in there, though?
The police?
Yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah. The ones that just was trying to calm me down, like, cuff up. Trying to be cool, shit. After I done threw nutties on them. And they're trying to get me to calm down so they don't have to spray me with gas and shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
They spraying people in there with gas and shit, dog?
What is that shit like?
Crazy.
I mean, it burned. You know what I'm saying? I just put the towel, like, I wet my towel, put it on my T-shirt, and put it on my head. You got to breathe through your mouth, not your nose.
That shit sound crazy, the motherfucker.
Can't get in the water, though, try to wash it off. It'll burn more.
That shit crazy, man. So they get in there gassing people up and shit?
Nah, hell yeah.
When we going
if you don't cuff up.
Yeah.
If you don't cuff up, for sure they coming. Guarantee what. But you get your statement across when they know you're not playing, like. No, I'm saying when you make them cuff up, because it's going to be some assaults. Nigga. I'm putting the shampoo on, I'm putting all the water on the floor, everything, the shampoo right there, so.
We'll make it hard for your motherfucker.
Well, they slept
at
the door. You got to be at the door with it.
Can't let them come in. I've been trying to tell, like, that's some mastermind shit. Like, just put that shit into some positive shit now, because I would have never think that was some Home Alone level shit.
Come in and grab you, you slip them like a fish and get off of it. Until they really
got to add a motherfucking tell. You got to add a motherfucking remedies going, nigga. Shit.
That shit. I slipped to my boxers.
That's some cool ass shit, dog. You know what, man? You know where you'll make a grip of money at, too, dog. They be paying cats like that a grip of money, dog, to make sure them scenes authentic when they be doing the movies and shit, like the script supervisors and shit like that.
Yeah, nah, them dirty motherfuckers was recording this shit. They was paying me cigarettes, like, after the shit. Like,
oh, you talking about actual movie sets, like, pay you to, like, make sure they
have a police recording this shit.
Recording it.
Yeah, they was like setting up fights and all kind of shit.
Damn.
Going bullshit. Like, I would refuse cellies. I got tired of niggas farting in the cell. And I got to the point where I've been in cell with niggas so long, I don't even like to hear a nigga like burp. I want to beat a nigga ass. He would fart. All that shit. I don't want to be. That shit's irritating. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, some shit is just too disrespectful for a motherfucker. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Motherfucker, yeah. After a while, I get tired of motherfuckers.
Everything, my nigga. Like, I just stopped refusing motherfuckers. So the police knew this, and they'd bring two niggas to my cell knowing what's going to happen.
So you just fire on the nigga. A nigga come in there just doing some disrespectful shit, just take off on his ass.
Nah, tell him, don't come in my cell, bro. For real. I'm refusing cellies right now. But the police would be like, you going in here or else I'm going to give you a write-up. A lot of these be scared of write-ups and shit because they probably finna go home or whatever. I don't know what the situation they going through in their life, but I didn't give a fuck about no But I tell them, don't come in here, homie, on me, because I'm not accepting no, I can't do no cellies right now. I'm not all there right now, bro. Like, I'm not compatible. And the police know this shit and try to punk me to go to school or, you know what I'm saying, some shit like that. I refuse school. I refuse all that shit. I refuse all the programs, NA, AA. I'm not going to no Alcohol Anonymous. I'm not going to your fucking NA. They get money for all this. I'm not taking your COVID test. They come through like every, like, 5 times a week trying to force me to take COVID tests. It's $100 every COVID test. You know what I'm saying? And then they give it to you. Like, I didn't have that shit till they tested me. As soon as they tested me, I got sick.
Yeah, that's crazy as a motherfucker, dog. I think, you know what's, now that you say it, dog, me and my wife did everything in the world not to catch that shit. And as soon as we went and took a fucking COVID test, that's when we
got sick. That's when I got sick. Man, they saw the fucking tip. Like, yeah, they doing that shit, homie. And they circulating. They put you right back in the population with them. I had to, you know, to drink cayenne pepper, turmeric, and apple cider vinegar. I had to really do home remedies to stay sick. I had COVID 3 times. You know what I'm saying? Just had us in there just, it was like a fucking,
That shit was crazy. Hey, yeah. Let me ask y'all the question. When that COVID shit came, did y'all think the world was in there?
Nah, for sure. Yep.
I said, this finally the truth. My grandma been talking about
this. All right.
What about the end?
Like, I got to think about some more foreign country ass shit. Like, damn, they about to have us locked down. Niggas can't go nowhere. Mm-hmm. Motherfuckers going to get scared. In a minute, you going to see niggas that start the gun up, getting that ammo, and just say, fuck it, nigga. During COVID, nigga, I acquired you know what I'm saying?
The motherfucker about that shit, because I got asthma. And I love the homie Glasses. Glasses came over my house. I said, Glasses, you my nigga. I can't let you in the crib, though, my nigga. Glasses looked at me like I was crazy. You for real ain't gonna let me, you know, no disrespect to you, big head, but this the homie. Cause you ain't gonna let me in your house. I was like, man, I love you, Glasses. You can stay out there, my nigga, but you can't come past here. He said, man, I'm gone, scary ass nigga. I love
you. Got the chain on the door. You cracked it and had the chain on the drawer. I was beeping through.
Little foot right here like this. Like, no, my nigga. I ain't letting nobody. You could be my mama outside. Come in this motherfucker.
Hey, niggas are dying.
I was scared because I saw all niggas dying. I just pictured me not because the one homie, man.
Oh, man.
The one homie, man, he didn't die, man, but that nigga still ain't been right.
My nigga Double, man, the homie, I've been seeing it on TV and shit like that. And the homie FaceTimed me with the tubes and all this shit. And this one of my close homies. I'm like, nigga, if that shit hit you, that shit really real. That's when I really was like, okay, damn. This shit hitting different, close to home.
I was scared of that motherfucker, dog. I was like, dog, I don't. And you know, Glasses, he ain't wearing no mask. He's like, fuck all that. I ain't wearing all that shit phony. I said, that shit ain't phony. Nigga, see people like it dying?
For real. Nah, they was getting body in there. They was falling out.
Yeah, I was seeing this shit, man. There was some homies, man, that would put on their headphones in there. And they was showing how he was like, man, look at this man right here. He got COVID, like in a cell with him. And he trying to mask. He said they gave me this little thin ass mask. This nigga over here dying.
Damn. Yep.
It's fucked up how they treat Van Cass in the penitentiary system, man. Do you ever see yourself, man, going out fighting for reform and all that shit the way they do motherfuckers in there?
Nah, we doing some shit right now. I got like 5 homies on their way home right now. I got, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to get a real law firm in the belt.
Yeah, I seen you talking about that law firm.
That's where all his bread went, a lot of it.
Man,
bail bonds and lawyers, man.
Like, oh yeah, when they know you got some little change,
no,
them motherfuckers will just bleed you motherfucking dry. Man. Oh, we need to come back next month. Oh, we need to come back. Oh, we need another retainer. Oh, we need them motherfuckers will bleed you the fuck dry.
Yeah, and the DA and them all with it. The judge all, all in.
Yeah, man, come on, man, break me off a piece or something. Niggas all splitting it up in the back room or some shit.
Straight up.
The homie just sent me something that said Chinese scientists create mutant coronavirus strain that attacks the brain and has 100% kill rate in mice. As they admit, there's a risk it spills over to humans. See, there's some crazy shit going on.
I tell you about listening to all that crazy shit.
Man, I'm being real. There's a lot of shit. Hey, nigga, I'm
motherfucking ass gonna come up here next week with an old plastic suit on and shit. You're gonna be in a bubble. Ain't gonna let us touch.
You and Game got a song on the thing where y'all touch on a lot of that shit.
Oh, yeah. That's some Haley Dries and Dreams.
Haley and Dreams, yeah. Y'all talking about that shit. If you listen, y'all in there talking about some shit.
He talking about my grandpa, yeah. And, you know, and died, man, shit. Like, just went out with a stomach ache, you know what I'm saying? Didn't make it out. Real shit, just they stuck a tool down his throat, something like just to see around, and it never came and died.
I know somebody died like that, too. Went to the hospital for just a simple stomach ache and didn't even come up out of that motherfucker.
You got to think, man. I think they do be trying to experiment on us and shit, dog. This shit ain't nothing new with the skis and all that shit.
That's what keeps us paranoid from fucking with doctors and shit. You know what I'm saying? Because it can be some simple shit. Your grandmama come up with some shit to give you and have you all right. You go see one of them motherfuckers, you be sick as motherfucker. Right. And they steady trying to pump this shit into you.
Y'all think about this. We all had grandmas. We used to get sick as a dog, and your mama just had you at home and feed you some shit. I rub some shit in your chest and you'll be cool the next day.
Nigga, swallow that castor oil and your ass is hugged. Shit. Swallow that castor oil.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know what? We just don't have the thing, man, from the management that we got to wrap it up right now, man. I really appreciate y'all coming through, man.
I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, man.
We got to go back to the show now, man.
I just want to say shout out because, you know what I'm saying, a big hit. Coming from the same walks of life, representing neighborhoods, for you to come home and get in the booth and express yourself and put out projects and then have your son behind it. And then you see all the acceptance from the hip hop community showing, you know, it's a good feeling, man. You know what I'm saying? Do a nigga proud, man.
Real legend, my nigga.
It's
major respect, man. Y'all in there, man.
No, man.
Get in there.
It's all day. Let's cook. It's a dick.
So we gonna wrap this up, people, man. Thank y'all for tuning in. And we out this. You know what? Before we go, man, where can motherfuckers go buy the album at, man?
Man, bighitnopit.com.
Y'all heard it here, bro.
.com, man.
Yeah. I'll bang that body for body, man. Stop playing.
Body.
We had a link at the bottom, so go check it out. Go get you one right now. You bitch, we gone.
Respect, bro. That shit was dope.
Well, that concludes another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. Be sure to download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. For Apple users, find a purple mic on the front of your screen, subscribe to the show, leave a comment and rating. Executive producers for the Gangsta Chronicles podcast are Norman Steele, Aaron MCA Tyler. Our visual media director is Brian Wyatt, and our audio editor is Taylor Hayes. The Gangsta Chronicles is a production of iHeartMedia Network and the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hilson, Adonis.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school. Like,
yeah.
Okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.